A very pleasant good afternoon to you. We are so glad to be able to be in your presence and that you have a desire to know the truth. It will be that truth that will set you free. That is true for everyone that will seek after the truth and to obey the truth. It is our honor to be able to have you and be able to, that you have an interest in finding out what God's Word says as we let the Bible speak. This is a live broadcast. Today is February the 8th, and we're glad to be able to be of your service and be able to honor God as we let Him speak through His Word. Now's your chance. Both lines are available, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Both lines are now available. Many of y'all know that at the end of the broadcast, many times the lines fill up, the questions pile up, and we're not able to get to all the questions. We are sad when those things occur. Sometimes we will carry them over to the next week. But why not go ahead and join in the discussion right now? Call in your question at 308-9564. If you'd rather, you can text us, which is another way to communicate with us. If you have a cell phone, why not text us right now at 725-9283. Either way, you are welcome to call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, those of you that are longtime listeners know that we try to encourage people to enroll in a Bible correspondence course. The reason is for that is you get much more from your own personal discovery from God's Word rather than listening to two guys on the radio. Whenever you see it for yourself, whenever you look into the Word and you discover those treasures, it is just as exciting as if you have discovered a treasure chest in your backyard, and thus you're able to open it up and see what all it contains. Why not take advantage of the treasure that is right there in the Bible, the Word of God? And when you see these things for yourself, you will be blessed, not just for a little time, but for an eternity, especially if you put those things into action. So why not enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course? You can jump ahead of everyone else and call right now, 553-5157, and get that course on its way to you this week. The good thing about this is you can study it at your own convenience, anytime you want, 24/7. If you're a morning person, you can study at that time. If you are a night owl, you can, in the middle of the night if you want, you can take that material, look into the Bible, and find the answers that pertain to life and godliness right there in God's Word, in your Bible itself. And thus you'll be able to be blessed 10 times more by the correspondence course and studying out of your Bible than even listening to us on the radio. So don't miss out on this. Call 553-5157. You may discover vital truths that you've never seen before, because many times churches today are prevented from telling the whole truth because they must remain within the denominational box in which defines them. So let's jump out of the box. Let us jump right into the arms of a loving God and discover the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that we may receive that blessing that will never be taken away from us. Again, that number to get the course is 553-5157. Now, if you want to call in your question right now, it is, the voice line is 308-9564, and the text line is
725-9283. That's our text line. So we really invite you to participate with us today. And if you've got some friends and relatives who do not live in the area, and you've been telling them about the program and how much you've learned and how much you appreciate Bible discussions that come on, you can have them access the radio program off of our website, and they can listen to it wherever they live in not only the country, but they may be in the military, maybe overseas, and you would like to encourage them. You can have them listen to www.BibleAlone.com as our website, and it live streams off of that website. And also their archived programs, if you would like to have them listen. Maybe they're not in a good time frame or time schedule where they can listen to it live, but they can listen to it on the archives, then that is a great way to do that as well. Again, we are interested, we are concerned about helping people learn what God's Word says. And we need that because it's not within ourselves to direct our own steps. That's what Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 10:23. And then there's another interesting passage in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, where it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Now, that verse just kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? So we can't depend on our own think-sos. We can't depend on our own wisdom, because our heart can deceive us. But God's Word will not. He speaks truth. And so David prays in Psalms 119, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." So as you hear the encouragement to take the Bible correspondence course, remember those passages. Kind of keep those in mind. And that is a good way to motivate us to not depend upon our own selves, but to depend on God's Word. Not what we hear, it says, not for it to be read only partially, but to be read fully and completely. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he shunned not to declare them the whole counsel of God. And so we need to read it all and get it in context. So we invite you to participate today. 308-9564 is the line here at the radio station. Text us at 725-9283. And you can join us today for a Bible study on the air. And we can just open God's Word and see what treasures He has for us that would encourage and build us up and to direct us to the right paths. And so we invite you to participate even today.
Now, there's another way that people can tune in as well. If they have a smartphone, they can download an app called TuneIn Radio, T-U-N-E-I-N Radio, and then search for WJNI in Charleston, 106.3, and they will be able to tune in live from anywhere in the world. And so that is a third way that you can have people to join us in this very important process of finding the whole truth. There are so many today that have questions, and maybe something has popped up at church that you wonder about, or something has been included in a discussion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you set the topic, you set the theme, but God's Word is going to give the answer, the Bible, as we let the Bible speak. So it is the questions on your heart and mind. And sometimes people call and they ask a question, and they might ask a question that the Bible just does not address. And when that is the case, then truly what we'll do is we'll just say, well, that's just not in the Bible. And so if you have a question that you would like to ask, then go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and you can also ask your question that way. Either way, the operator is here waiting on you to call 308-9564, and you can call in your question right now. Steve, our first question came from a text question today and wants to know, should I tithe from before tax or after tax, gross or net income?
Well, I guess the first thing to ask would be, what does the Bible say about tithing? Since he's asking the question about tithing. And the only New Testament passages that talk about tithing are those that refer to what was done under the Old Testament. And so that should be helpful to us to know that tithing has a limited application to those passages in the Old Testament. And so it's good for us then to say, well, what does God say for those under the new covenant? What would He have us to do? Of course, those passages. If you're a listener, longtime listener, you're familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2, where Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." What is noticeably absent in those verses is there is no reference to tithing, and there is no reference to a set amount. Instead, it talks about lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. And so that is one of the passages that talk about the guidelines of giving under the new covenant. One more passage we'll look at, and then we'll talk about the other aspect of that question. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about in verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Those two passages, folks, are the sum total of the teaching of the New Testament concerning giving. And so you'll notice some distinctions there between passages that you typically hear in churches today that are taken from Malachi chapter 3 and emphasize tithing or given a certain percentage, and that is not found in the New Testament.
Now, what about the Old Testament? I mean, is that something that we're supposed to follow today?
Well, that is also a good question to ask. And if you turn to the book of Galatians, there is a very sobering passage there in Galatians chapter 5 that says that if we seek to be justified by the law, that we have fallen from grace. Now, that's a shocker, isn't it? We've fallen from grace. If we seek to be justified by the Old Testament, if tithing is an Old Testament teaching then, per the passage in Malachi, and we are told in the New Covenant that we shouldn't be justified by that, or, as is oftentimes taught, people are being pressured and forced to do something which the Bible says, if you do, you're going to be fallen from grace.
Wow.
That's kind of contrary, isn't it, Ricky?
Yes, it is. That's amazing that churches will do that. They'll not only compel them to give, not cheerfully, but beyond the cheerful.
It's grudgingly, a necessity.
And then also that they're trying to bind something in the Old Testament that causes them to lose their gift of grace.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So here they want them to give because that you're going to be doing right if you give, but then if you're giving the way they give, then you're losing everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully that's from a text number from the last three digits of 321. Thank you so much for your question. We really do appreciate it. I actually texted you back the references we used there, and so be sure to study those and consider those things. Now, we are to give, but we have to be careful and understand we've got to give by Christ's authority and not by Moses' authority.
And he had another aspect of that question about before or after taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tax.
I wouldn't know what passage to turn to talk about that.
Yeah,
we are to render to Caesar those things that are Caesar's,
mm-hmm.
and to God those things that are God's. So I guess in man's own judgment, conscience, he had to figure that out for himself.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. So thank you so much for your question. You're to be commended, and we sure appreciate your question. I think you are a first-time texter, and thank you so much. We are glad that you have joined us today. So the Lord wants a cheerful giver and a bountiful giver, but he does not tell us to tithe or tell us how much to give. So thank you again. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call in right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text, then you can text us at 725-9283. We're about to tell you about the Bible Correspondence Course. Listen carefully. If you've never gotten this or studied through it, don't miss out. It is free. You have nothing to lose but darkness. So let's let God's light shine in our lives so that we may glorify him in heaven. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, and we are glad that you have joined us. If you've just tuned in, if you started at the beginning of the program, we are glad to have you return to the program with us after the break. And we hope that the encouragement to take that Bible correspondence course was encouraging, was helpful, and maybe you're just about ready to call that number and submit your name and address. And we hope that's the case. You know, there's a passage I came across in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, that I think may be very encouraging and helpful to us if you're wavering on taking that Bible correspondence course. Jeremiah, by the Holy Spirit, says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." Now that is good advice. And so as you contemplate whether or not to take this Bible correspondence course, maybe those words rest in your heart. Let us search out and examine our ways. And the best way to examine our ways is to study the Word of God. And in that study, we can compare what we believe, what we practice, with what God would have us do, believe, and practice. And wouldn't you want not want to meet the Lord without having done that? Wouldn't you want to be prepared for the Lord's coming? In fact, long for the Lord's coming. And if you're listening to this program and you're just not ready for the Lord to come yet, well, you know the tricky thing about that is we never know when He's going to come. So it's good to be prepared. And this Bible correspondence course can do just that. If you want to participate in the program, call 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283 and with your question, and we can let the Bible speak for us today.
And the voice line, both lines are available right now, is 308-9564, 308-9564. Don't miss out on getting your question in today's broadcast, where you set the topic, you set the theme, but God gives the answer. Through His Word, we will let the Bible speak. We'll let God speak through His Word. So call in your question right now, 308-9564. Any Bible subject of that pertains to life and godliness. Sometimes people have difficulty when it comes down to all of the churches that are going, teaching all the different things. And the whole purpose of this program is for us to get back to God's Word to find all of the answers. In Galatians chapter 1, God puts it this way. Speaking through Paul, He says in verse 8, "Even if we," which includes Paul himself, "are an angel from heaven," so that's not talking about the devil and his angels. So Paul says, "Even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you," any other good news, any message from God that gives this message of salvation. "So if anyone, a man or an angel from heaven, preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you," that is, preached 2,000 years ago, "let him be accursed." Ladies and gentlemen, that curse there is the Greek word anathema, which would be likened unto a super curse. So if you don't like the idea of being cursed, if you do not like the idea of something really bad going to inflict you, then it's time for us to find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because so many today have bought into those things that are beyond what God's Word says. Lock, stock, and barrel, they have swallowed those things. I don't know how many times I have seen people sit in a pew and listen to what the preacher says and say, and they'll be right, and I know good and well what they just said is not in God's Word. Here recently, heard about a funeral where there were well over 100 people there at the funeral, and the preacher that was preaching the funeral decided he was going to preach on the subject of what it means to not be baptized and how that you can go to heaven that way. And everybody, that's right, that's right. And thus he preached not only the person that had died into heaven, but also all those people that didn't believe in what the Bible had to say about how to go to heaven. Well, isn't that a shame? Well, God just said here, we saw it in Galatians chapter 1, if we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached, let him be accursed. And, you know, God was so clear about this. He didn't just say it one time. Listen to the very next verse. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed. Well, maybe you have a question about that. Go ahead and call us. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. The number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, the number is?
725-9283. I got it right that time. All right. You know, I got thinking, Ricky, we started off the program talking about falling from grace. And, you know, is that one of those teachings that Paul warned them against, that if then it comes to preach a different gospel, would that qualify as a different gospel?
Well, let's just see. If you go back to verse 6, we can find that answer very clearly. Here, Paul, in this same context, Galatians chapter 1, says to these people, these saints that are in the area of Galatia, which was a region more like a country, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ. What are they being called away from? Grace. What are they being called into? To a different gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see that? I hope you have your Bible open and you can see it for yourself. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him, Christ, who called you into the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. And then he says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So they're changing it. They're distorting it. They're twisting it. And when they do that, that causes them to be removed from him. So, yes, it sure looks like that someone could fall away from Christ and be removed from him by simply going after a different teaching, a different gospel. And so we need to make certain that we're following only this written word that we see in God's word. And if we don't, then we are in trouble.
And it seems that Paul confirms that in Galatians 5, verse 4, that we referred to earlier, that if we seek to be justified by the law, we have fallen from grace. And so many other passages that talk about the conditions, if you hold confidence, your faith firm to the end, like in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5 talks about that. So very, very important. So if you've got a question, you can call us here at the station, 308-9564, and also text us at 725-9283.
Okay, we have a sounds like some confusion over some of the Bible, the numbers we're giving. We want everyone to be aware of, if you're wanting to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course, to get the course in the mail to you, the number to call there is 553-5157. That's the number to call for the free Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. Now, to call in a question to us here in the studio, that number is 308-9564, 308-9564. It's time to go to our next break. We want you to know while we are at break, we continue to look forward to your questions coming in. The number for the voice line is 308-9564. There's one line available. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We're looking forward to your questions, so go ahead and call 308-9564. They're coming in now. We sure appreciate those of you that have a desire to know the truth. We'll take you only to the Bible for the answers. And so please be aware, it may not be comfortable when you see what God's Word says, because sometimes the truth is hard and it cuts. Even in the very first day the church began, those thousands that obeyed the gospel, it says they were cut to the heart. So get ready, and may your heart be open and soft to and pliable to God's word. 308-9564, that's the voice line. There's one line available. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, we have a question from Jose, and he is asking, should pastors allow kids to take communion? When I first read it, I thought his kids, but no, it just says kids to take communion. Now, I'm going to assume, Jose, that what you're asking about are kids that aren't baptized, kids that aren't Christians, kids that are just, you know, 5, 6, 10, whatever, years of age. Well, when we go to the New Testament, we look at some passages that talk about the Lord's Supper or communion, and it is a celebration, a remembrance of what Jesus did upon the cross. It is in this 1 Corinthians, which is the first passage we're going to go to. The book opens up, and it's addressed to the churches at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And so that is the people who are addressed here. These are the people who will be taking communion, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, those who are Christians, in other words. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the importance of this. And notice some things that are said here that are very important to consider when we talk about kids, those underage, those who really haven't committed themselves to the Lord, need to be aware of. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul starts talking about what Jesus said, and we are to take, eat, verse 24, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And also the same thing in verse 25, in remembrance of me. So this is not a snack. This is not something to keep the kids quiet. It is not something to kind of entertain them with. This is a very special, a very solemn, and very sober consideration. He goes on to say in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And then verse 27, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And so you don't want to misuse this idea of taking communion for any other reason other than a person who is a Christian, who has been saved by the blood of Jesus, who has obeyed the gospel as laid out in the book of Acts, that is who is to take the Lord's Supper. It goes on in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so I hope that helps, Jose, to help determine who it is that ought to take communion. Those who know Jesus as their Savior, those who have been redeemed by the blood, those who have believed in Jesus, those who have repented of their sins, confessed his name in faith, and been baptized. And usually the people who can do that are of a certain age and a certain responsibility, a certain maturity. And it's those people that need to be taking communion. So I would discourage anyone from letting kids just kind of, you know, act, feel like they're acting like adults. That is and it would be an abuse of this solemn feast. So I hope that helps you and encourages you and gives you some guideline and instruction. Again, that passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23, and we read through verse 29. If you'd like to participate in the program, give us a call here at the station, 308-9564. You can text us also at 725-9283. You can get your question in, and we will turn to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Ricky?
Yes, we have a texter from the last three digits of the phone number is 187. Their question, it says, regarding earlier question on tithing before and after taxes, it is preached and taught around the world daily. If you don't tithe 10% of your gross income, all caps, you are cursed, according to Malachi. I know people who give out fear, not fear or reverence unto God, but fear that they will lose everything they have. Some are even homeless and does not even have a car. Yet some have been tithing for 30 plus years, stating a point I witness daily. So it sounds like this person knows exactly what's going on. They see it. And of course, you're exactly right. And regardless of what man does or what man teaches or what preachers teach or what churches practice, God's word still says the same thing, the very same thing. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Who? You who are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Whoa, that's pretty tough. Yep, if we go back to Malachi and we use Malachi to bang people over the head with, they're fallen from grace. And if we listen to those who are teaching such and give heed to such instructions in that, Galatians 1 and verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Why is it that we can't use Malachi to defend such an action as that? Well, there's a lot in the New Testament about this, and I hope those of you that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will write some of these verses down. It's not just Galatians 5, it's Galatians chapters 3, 4, and 5. And it's not just Colossians 2, it is Colossians 2, 3, 4. Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. There's a great deal in the Bible about this. But listen to what God said through Colossians chapter 2. He says, verse 14, having wiped out the handwritings of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He goes on to show how that intricate that is involved. And then he sums it up in verse 17 when he says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. We now must submit to Christ. All of those things in the Old Testament were just a shadow. Now we're supposed to listen to Christ's teaching. And when Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Who do you think we should be listening to? Yeah, we better get our answers from him. And so let's do that. And now, if you want more information on this, you can go to our website at BibleAlone.com. Then go to the Bible study materials, and you'll see a section on tithing and how that we're supposed to give today, along with a lot of verses. So check that out and see what you think, and go to the Bible for the answers. Again, the number 3089564. Steve, you have the next question.
Yes, we have a question from Linda, and it's a kind of involved question, but I think it's a very important one too. She says that she had a dream, or a dream somehow was being talked about about being in church, and the pastor said to turn to Genesis 32. I guess I'm assuming in this dream she had, but when I went to turn there, it was not there. So I asked the pastor what the dream meant, and he said there is a message in the dream for me. Does God still use dreams to reveal things to us today? And what does this dream mean? Well, that is a real interesting dream. I don't know what to make of that necessarily, but I was real intrigued by Genesis 32 and it not being there. Well, Genesis 32 is in the Bible, so that would just be flat out confusing to me for sure. But to this question about, does God use dreams to reveal himself to us? Now, it is true that God used dreams. And I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1 that really, I think, would give Linda and others the most help concerning this idea of what do I do about dreams that I have? What do they mean? Is God trying to tell me something? Well, Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now, if you notice in verse 1, God did speak at various times and in various ways to the fathers by the prophets. And one of the ways that God used was dreams and visions to communicate his will to the prophets, who would then in turn would pass those things on to us. And in these last days, verse 2 makes a contrast. In these last days, he has spoken, that is, God has spoken to us by his Son. That is, Jesus came and spoke his word to us, and then he made this great promise to the apostles in John chapter 16 and verse 13. Remember, he told them that he must go away. He was only here actively teaching for 3 years, and he said, I must go, and he wasn't done telling them everything. In fact, in verse 12, he says of John 16, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So Jesus prepared the apostles for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would guide them into all truth. That is, that's the promise he made to the apostles. Did that promise come true? That is, did the apostles, were they guided into all truth? Well, I believe we could believe Jesus, don't you? And so that being the case, that the apostles were guided into all truth. And therefore, what we have in the New Testament is just that. That is, all truth. And so when we have a dream or a vision, or we think we hear something, think we see something, boy, the first thing that needs to pop into our mind is this of God or not? And how do I tell the difference? One sure way to tell the difference is to read what the Holy Spirit has already revealed, what he has already given us. And 2 Peter 1:3 says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And what else would we need if we have been given all things that lead to life and godliness? So we need to be very concerned when we have dreams that we not follow that dream. We not want somebody interpret that dream for us, but we simply go to the Word of God and see what God says. And hopefully that will be very helpful to us. It will keep us from many hurtful ways. It will keep us from being distracted from that which is truth and being a led away. As Ricky talked about Galatians 1, 6 through 9, even though we, Paul says, are an angel from heaven, tell you any other gospel than what has, you have been revealed to you, let him be accursed. So those are very important things to keep in mind. We're up on a break, and we want you to continue to call us even while we're at the break. The phone line will still be answered, and you can have your question aired as soon as we get back from the break. Right now, take time to listen to this encouragement to take the Bible Correspondence Course, that you may learn and be guided by that which the Holy Spirit has said and revealed, all truth in the books of the Bible. Well, are you just about convinced? Are you just about persuaded that, you know, I could really use that course? It'd be good for me to just sit down with the Bible and study it. I need to quit listening to whatever anybody tells me. I need to know for myself. I hope that's been your reaction to that that encouragement to take the Bible Correspondence Course. Really, so many valuable things you'll be able to learn and to understand and to appreciate. And so when you hear someone talk about the Bible, you hear someone talk about Jesus or God, and you know what the Bible says, man, you're going to light up, and you're going to want to share what God's Word says to them. I tell you, first and foremost, we need to know what God's Word says. If we're going to have faith before God, it's got to come by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So please, really, you'd be so wonderfully blessed to engage in a study of God's Word, a systematic study of God's Word that would be helpful. Give us a call here. If you have a question, 308-9564. You can also text us at 725-9283. And remember that number for the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. If you want to invite someone else to take that course, just remember that's an 843 number, like the all of them are that we give you on the air. And they can participate in that program too.
Yes, and so don't miss out on that. We'll get the course in the mail to you right away. If you want to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course, it is 553-5157. You probably have been, as most people we have run into, they tell us, you know, I've never seen that before. And yet they may have been long-time Bible students or been in church for decades. And from the very beginning, they say, I've never seen that before. So do you want to be in the category of the don't knows and will have to answer for it? Or those that will find the truth and the truth set you free? Well, why not just find the truth? Go ahead and enroll in this course. You've got nothing to lose but a lot of problems as we set ourselves on a course to heaven. So go ahead and call 553-5157. We answered a question earlier about tithing that came up, some of the first questions on the broadcast. And here is a Mr. Youngblood that called in and said, please explain why Malachi 3:8 is not supposed to be used today. Well, Mr. Youngblood, first of all, we are to use it in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 shows those things that they did and those things that are written are for our example that we might learn not to do as some of them did. And so we are to use it. We are to study God's Word. It is all the Word of God all the way from Genesis on. But now the law has changed. Now Jesus has all authority. Moses has none. The patriarchs have none. Abraham has none. It is Christ we must listen to. He's the one and only. And when he says all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, that's exactly what he means. So when we turn to his law, the New Testament, what we see is never a point where he instructs his church to tithe. There is no verse of Scripture that instructs or shows that his church ever practiced tithing. And you said why. Please explain why. Well, Mr. Youngblood, the Old Testament tithing was not money. You might say, what? Just go back and look. And if you want a Bible study to be able to reference all the verses too, you can go to our website at www.biblealone.com or .org and go to the Bible study materials section. And there you'll see a whole list of materials on frequent questions. And one of them is entitled Tithing in the Bible. And so that is the verse, that is the passage that shows you how that we are to tithe, how they were to tithe, and that tithing was it to be money. There's the name of the document, and it will give you the whole list of verses. It was commodities, what we would might call commodities, things that people need to live on. And those commodities, that tithing in the Old Testament, was to be given to the Levites, because that was their inheritance. Now, Mr. Youngblood, we don't have Levites today. There are no Levites today. Thus, the tithing would be is of no use. It was just for the Israelites to take care of that tribe, and that was the whole purpose of it. And because those Levites worked in spiritual service in the Old Testament, a physical kingdom, it was a physical temple. And so when you look at all that and you see, oh, well, now in the New Testament, God tells us we're supposed to give, but he doesn't call it tithe, nor is it ever referred to as a tenth. He says bountiful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says that we're to give as we've been prospered in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. But he never tells us how much We determine that it's supposed to be bountiful and cheerful. So hopefully you'll go to the trouble to download that article and get the list of verses that show the whole purpose behind the tithing in the Old Testament. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, if you are understanding us, we are not to tithe today. That was part of the Old Testament. If we do that, Galatians 5 and verse 4, if we go back to the law to justify something, it says we are fallen from grace. Write it down. Check it out. Don't listen to me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. So thank you so much, Mr. Youngblood. We appreciate your question. We appreciate your desire to know the truth, and we hope and pray that that will be a blessing to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. We got about 3-4 minutes. Steve, can you work that one in?
I believe we can. We had a question about a tattoo. Can a person have tattoos? And really, the only passage that makes a stipulation about that is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. And very simply, it says in verse 28, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord." Well, that's an Old Testament passage, and we've already talked about today with the tithing, and just now got through talking about the tithing, is the Old Testament was the covenant to the children of Israel, and it is not a covenant for all people. Ephesians chapter 2, for instance, talks about that the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile was broken down by the cross of Christ, and now that we're all one in Christ Jesus, we are all accountable to God under the gospel. That's Ephesians 2, 12 through 16. Read those verses, and that will help you see that point. And also, we've already talked about Galatians 5, 4, that we seek to be justified by the law. We have fallen from grace. But while you're in that chapter of Leviticus 19, we want to kind of point out how people who even contend that we ought to keep an Old Testament passage do not consistently even try to do that. Verse 27 says, "You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard." And so if we're going to press that passage about tattoos, then we can't stop there. We've got to look at everything. And so that just indicates to us, one, our hypocrisy, and two, that we, no man, no flesh, shall be justified by the keeping of the law. That's Romans 3:20.
Yeah, there's so many times it's so easy for us to pick out some verse because we like it and ignore the rest of them. And so we have to be consistent there. I think I misstated earlier in answering the question concerning the idea of tithing. Please know that we are no authority whatsoever. We are only here to be able to deliver what God's Word says and to be able to hopefully be consistent and honest as we go to the Bible for all the answers. And so we hope and pray that everyone that tunes in will be able to hear what God's Word says. And our prayer every week is that we just stay out of His way and let His Word be heard. And so we sure appreciate all of our listeners that call in these questions and desire to know what the Bible says. And so hopefully that has been of benefit to you. Colossians 4 and verse 6 tells us to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer everyone. And so that is our desire, and we sure appreciate it. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. The number is 308-9564. That is the voice line. Both lines are available right now. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We're about to tell you about the correspondence course. And the benefits of this are staggering because most people have never actually got into the Word of God to discover the things themselves. Well, studying for yourself will actually build a faith that God is building, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we do not get into His Word, then we do not have the kind of faith that God wants us to have. If we're taking somebody's word for it, then our faith is in them. That's why it's so important for us to get into the Word itself, see the answer for ourselves, and thus God's kind of faith that He wants us to have is put in our heart. So go ahead and enroll in this course, 553-5157. It's just a tool to get you into the Word, 553-5157, and we'll send that to you absolutely free. We'll be right
back. We're so glad that you are still with us, and we hope that you're still thinking about that Bible correspondence course, and maybe to the point where you're ready to call that number, 553-5157. We have talked with hundreds of people about that Bible correspondence course, and everyone who has taken it, especially those who have finished all six lessons, have really learned a lot and really been challenged by it and really been glad they did it. So I hope that that will be an encouragement to you as well. Nothing like a live person who has talked to people, and even the people who have taken it themselves have really been glad they did that. It's been such a help to them. We hope you'll take advantage of that. Voice line here is 308-9564. Our text line is 725-9283. We have some questions here on standby, but you can call the station. All lines are open, and we invite you to join us so we can let the Bible speak.
So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Both lines are available. Someone else called in and said, what references were those that you used concerning tithing? Well, concerning Old Testament, New Testament, Galatians chapters 3, 4, and 5, especially chapter 5 and verse 4, if we go to the Old Testament to defend ourselves, we're fallen from grace. Also, Colossians 2, verses 11 through 17, we read earlier. And then also, you might want to read Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. Yes, chapters. It all deals with that. We can't go to the Old Testament. Christ is the one that's in charge. And the reason we know that, Matthew 28, verse 18, that's what he said. We better listen to him. Now, concerning the New Testament teaching on giving, that's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. So hopefully that will be helpful to you, and none of those verses tell us to tithe. Now, concerning another, Vernice calls in this question. She wants to know, loved ones who have gone before, are they looking over the balcony of heaven, cheering us on is that in the Bible? Well, Vernice, I started to just answer that with the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, Luke 16. And there we see the Lazarus just in Abraham's bosom, not uttering a word. Now, Abraham was having a conversation with the rich man. Could see what was going on, and the rich man could see what he was missing when he was in torment. But as far as looking back into the life, into the world, we just don't have a reference to that going on. The closest I can come to that is in the Old Testament when King Saul summoned Samuel back from the dead with the witch of Endor. And the first words out of Samuel's mouth were, why have you disturbed me? Why have you disquieted me, depending on your translation? And so that was the only reference I could come up with. And then it dawned on me. Now, what I'm about to give you is in the book of Revelation. It is symbolic language, mind you. And so thus we have to be very careful about that. As far as making a solid fact, truth, event going on, and it could be just wrapped up in the vision that it's right in the middle of, and that's in Revelation 6 and talking about the seals. And it says in the fifth seal, I saw those under the altar of souls who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, how holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Now, I called a question here. How did they know that? I don't know. I don't know the answer. But there is a passage, somehow they knew that the judgment had not been given to those who had judged them or had killed them. And so they had been beheaded for the cause of Christ. So I don't know. If you want to try to use that, that'll be up to you. But I was just wanting to point that out to you. Somehow they knew that those people had not been avenged at that point. And so, Vernice, that's all I can come up with. Hopefully that has been of some help to you. Again, that was Revelation 6 and verse 9. And then the story of the rich man and Lazarus is in Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 through the end of the chapter. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, and both lines are available. 308-9564, and you can call with your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak.
Yes, we have a question from Dee, and others who may have a question, maybe you're a little hesitant to call the program. Oh, please be bold and just call us up. You'll find us very easy to get along with. And we just excited and interested in the Bible and looking for answers in the Bible along with you. And sometimes we get asked questions that Ricky and I are scratching our head and say, where in the Bible is that? And so we have to do a little digging ourselves. And so you help us and encourage us by your questions and helps us to dig as well. So call us at 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. Now, let's get to Dee's question. We talked about dreams a little bit ago, and she says, anywhere in the Bible that talks about dreams, I constantly dream about my relatives who have passed on. Does this mean something? Well, it probably means you miss them, probably means you love them, and probably means you would like to have them back with you.
But this program's not called Let the Probably Speak.
That's true.
Okay.
Let the Bible
Speak.
Well,
there we go. Okay.
I was getting to that one. So when you think about what the Bible says, in addition to what we said earlier about Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2, that God used dreams and visions in the Old Testament to reveal his will to the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, it's also important to note that in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on his men servants and maid servants. And in verse 17, it said, come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the Holy Spirit, even in the time of the outpouring and leading and guiding to all truth, did reveal himself to dreams, and that has been completed and recorded for us so that we can know all things that God gives to us. If you read Acts chapter 10, visions and dreams were involved in getting Peter to preach to Cornelius. Now, there's some other passage to think about, too. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, a passage that where here is Paul, and Paul had dreams, Paul had visions. He talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But notice how he, of course, he related that in written terms and revealed in the New Testament, so we all can read it and know about it. And so when he talks about the things that were revealed to him in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, beginning in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote briefly, written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So in that passage, Paul talked about that, yes, he had had a revelation, and he wrote that down so they could read and understand that. And the purpose and the importance of what has been revealed, thus written down, was the Holy Spirit wanted us to know that for all time. And so the process of bringing this revelation to completion used the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles, that used dreams and visions, and now all that truth has been encapsulated in the Scripture, so that Paul in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 21 says that prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by looking at the Scriptures. We're to test the Spirit. We're to test all these things that kind of come to our mind by what has been revealed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect into every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So those are the kinds of things that we need to depend on. Those are the kind of things we need to trust in. And these dreams we have about our loved ones, again, are just, you know, things that go on in our mind and our memory of them, and have nothing to do with any kind of truth and not moving us to do anything. And so hopefully as we think about these dreams we have, these impressions that are put upon our mind and our brain, our heart, always test those things. Test the spirits to see whether or not they be of God. And the only way to do that is using the Holy Spirit. And he inspired men to write the Word of God. And that's the way we check those things out. So, Dee, we appreciate your question. And it gave us an opportunity to talk about those kind of things that are so important and helpful to us to be built up in the most holy faith. Give us a call here, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yes, go ahead and call in right now. We're about to take our last break. Please know this is the last segment of the program, so don't miss out in getting the Bible Correspondence course on its way to you. Again, if you want that course, just simply call 553-5157, and it will you will be able to record your name and address, and it'll be in the mail to you. 553-5157. You'll be able to discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. In the old time, they used to put blinders on the animal that was pulling a plow so they would not get distracted, and that they would pull in a straight line and thus are not able to see around them but only straight ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the religious world, the one behind many of these churches that are in existence today, have done the same thing. They are only letting us see what they want us to see. And thus, we're not able to explore all the truth around us. Don't be that way. Take the blinders off. Let us find the truth and find the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So why not get this course in the mail to you and then study it? 553-5157. We're glad to send that to you, and we'll be glad to be able to be of service to you in that. So don't miss out on that. It'll be on the way to you even this week. So this is our last break, so please go ahead and take this opportunity. And if you have any questions, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for you hanging with us through this. I did it again, Ricky.
Yeah.
With this message about the Bible Correspondence Course. We've got 6 signed up already for that. And won't you join them and benefit just like they're going to benefit by having the words of God written on their hearts and their minds. And when that happens, folks, when God's word is in your heart, then you can be used and motivated and guided by God to come to a greater knowledge and usefulness to him. Won't you please let yourself do that as you sign up for this Bible Correspondence Course. We still have, again, 15 or so minutes left, probably less, but give us a call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and with your Bible question, and we will discuss it here on the air amongst us. We'll open the Bible, we'll look at the Scriptures, so that you can know what the will of God for your life is. Ricky?
Yes, we have a text question from the last 3 digits of 113. Their question is really an important question, and I don't know how we have neglected talking about this very often. Their question is, how were the Gentiles in the Old Testament world that died before Christ's resurrection saved after his death? So, yes, the world was made up of Gentiles, except for the one family of Israelites. and the best way I know how to describe this, imagine you have a pot of ready for planting a tree in. So it's a substantial size pot, and it's filled with soil. And we'll call that soil people. And that's the world. And then God takes one scoop of those people and puts them into a special pot within that pot. And he plants them for to be his special people. That would be the Jews or the family of Israel. And so out of that family of the world, which would be all in the pot, there was one scoop of people, that is the family of Jacob, because of the promise gave to Abraham, through your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That would be his grandson, Israel, or Jacob called later called Israel, and his boys became Israelites. And they were the special family that God singled out after being in Egypt for 430 years, brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them a special law. That's what's called the law of Moses. Now, as you stated in your question, what about all those Gentiles? How were they going to be judged? And that is a very important question. Before Moses was taken with the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, everybody was living under a law which some have entitled the patriarchal law. That is, God spoke through the heads of the households, those individuals that were the oldest member of the family God spoke through. And thus, that's how God communicated to the world, to that Gentile world back then, before there ever were Jews. He speaks of this, alludes to it, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He says, God, in various times and different ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So now we must listen to the Son. But at times past, God spoke to the fathers and by the prophets. And so they had to listen to those fathers. And that word that came through them, they would be judged. And so those individuals were speaking by inspiration. Now, if you wanted to know, it was a verbal law. However, we have a quick look into what it looked like, what they were going to be judged by. And if you will take the time to read Job chapter 31, you see one of those patriarchs examining himself. And he says, if I, and he gives stipulations of what he knew he was going to be judged by. So you can go through in Job 31 and see many of the characteristics of what they understood God required of them. So yes, they'll be judged. They were going to be judged by the law of God. God was going to be the one they stood before. It would be based upon that law that was alluded to there by Job himself. And so hopefully that is helpful to you. So they'll be judged by that law. The Jews would be by the law of Moses. And now everyone, all nations, must give heed to Christ because he has all authority. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Thank you so much for that question. I was glad to be able to answer that. It was an important thing because people wonder about that. Yeah, how are all these people going to be judged? And so, yes, they would be judged.
An example of the prophet speaking, you know, this is after the law of Moses, but even to the Syrian nation, Jonah went and preach repentance. And so they knew what they needed to repent of.
That's right. There were several prophets in the Old Testament that were sent to Gentiles and asked them or commanded them to repent or they were going to suffer the consequences.
And Romans 2 is an interesting passage to look at, too. The Gentiles will be judged on those things that they did as a moral consequence of knowing what God's word. That's Romans 2, 12 through 16.
Yeah.
That'd be helpful.
And one more verse, Galatians 3 and verse 28, to let us know that now everyone has to give heed to Christ. And it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. So Christ is the one that is the center authority that everyone must give heed to now. And then the next verse says, and if you are Christ, that is, you belong to him, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that's how we all now are one in Christ Jesus. Great question. Thank you so much for that.
That's interesting how that kind of comes full circle, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does. Yes. Now we've caught up on our questions, so if you hurry right now, you'll get yours in. 308-9564. The lines are available. First one in gets the next question. 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. There we have one coming in right now, and so we'll try to get it on the air.
The Bible Correspondence Course that we've been talking about through our breaks, we'll take a little bit of time to give you a final encouragement to participate in that. Again, that will be such a good thing for you to be able to read the Bible for yourself. Already today, we've looked at questions and that you've had that you just believe that's what you ought to be doing. That's what the Bible taught, and we've found out that that's not what the Bible taught. And so wouldn't it be interesting, and doesn't it motivate you and interest you to find out what other things are there that are in the Bible that I'm not being told about? Or am I being misled about certain things? Are verses being taken out of context and being held over my head? When Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free, that's the kind of thing he was talking about. Free in his day from the traditions of the elders, and in our day, free from the traditions of men, can be ours if we just simply listen to what God says and we only have our allegiance to him. He's the one who is going to judge us. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they will judge you in the last days. And so please take that with all the seriousness that you can, and call that number 553-5157.
Yeah, that's important to get that to study and develop your own faith as you see it in God's Word. We have Dee calling in this question. They want to know, are we going to recognize our loved ones in the next life? Well, here's the evidence, and you can draw your own conclusions. In Matthew chapter 17, we have Jesus and Peter, James, and John going to the top of the mountain. Jesus is changed, transfigured, and there appear to him Moses and Elijah. How did Peter, James, and John know that was Moses and Elijah? Yeah. Okay, there's another. And in Luke chapter 16, we have the rich man speaking to Abraham and calls him Father Abraham. And Abraham had lived hundreds of years before that, so how did he know that was Abraham? Yeah. So we draw a conclusion. A necessary implication is that, yes, we will recognize our loved ones in the next life because they recognized them here, even though they had never met them. They were long gone, and they recognized them very clearly. But now, will there be marriage and giving in marriage? No, Jesus makes that clear. That will not be occurring. It will not be a family unit as we understand it here in this life. But we probably will recognize, oh, you were my wife or you were my husband in our previous life on earth. But that will not be a family unit as we know it today. Thank you, Dee. That was Luke chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 17.
Real quickly, Tony asked a question about what does it mean when Jesus read the law and closed and said, today this scripture has been fulfilled. If you read Luke 4:18 through 19, that was a messianic prophecy that was referring to the things that Jesus was doing there at that time. So that is the significance of that reference. And, Prony, we appreciate it. I had to rush through that, but we appreciate your question.
Yes, thank you so much, everyone that has tuned in today, that you have shown an interest in knowing the truth and loving God's Word. And we hope and pray you'll tune in again next week as we let the Bible speak.